There's some interesting verses in the passage that Mike read to us. However, I'm only preaching on verses 20 to 21 because I got to be done by 1 is what I'm being told. So I can't go the rest of the way, but have done some study. And as I did study, I had to cut it down because if I do all those verses, we would be here for a while. And so again, I'm only going to do verses 20 and 21 is what we're doing there. Go to the book of Jude. Again, good information Mike gave how to find it. Just go to the book of Revelation and then go left. And don't go left real quick or you'll go right past it. Because it's only a page or so long in your Bibles, not that long there. I kind of liked that. It was pretty neat. And I don't know if any of you turned in a pew Bible to find it. And what did you get, page 904 or whatever? But the page number 904 is not found in the pew Bible. Page 905 is not in the pew Bible. So when you opened up to the book of Jude, Jude's on the left side, Revelation's on the right side, and there are no page numbers, I believe, as you open up to those pages, okay? So if you're saying, well, I couldn't find it, well, I understand, okay? You have to go back and see 903 and 906 or whatever, but 904, and if you check it out now, I think I'm right, but there's no page numbers written in those two pages there because the way it's done. So I thought that was funny because I turned it open to it and I was like, okay, what page number is this? I was thinking about putting page blank, just leaving it blank, you know, and then when you go, Pastor, you left the page number off. No, I didn't. No, I gave you the right page number. So I just thought that was the first time I've ever done that, looking for a page number and it wasn't there in the pages I was open to. But Jude chapter 20, let's have a word of prayer and get into this here. Father, we thank you again for the word of God. And Lord, we thank you as we already sang this morning. It's wonderful and it's words of life and we can trust it. Lord, thank you that we can sing songs like that. And Lord, I pray that we'll trust your word and Lord, that you took faithful men, holy men of old, and they wrote as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. It means carried along. So what they wrote, Lord, is the true word of God. It's inspired. Lord, now we need the illuminating work of the Holy Spirit to do his job so we can learn what we need to do as Christians. And know the things that you've set down for us there. Lord, bless our time as the Holy Spirit does his work in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, just reading the book of Jude not too long ago. And as I was reading it, this sermon kind of jumped at me. And I want to show you how it jumped at me and what comes out. But again, I don't want to preach on the whole book of Jude. I don't want to tell you about the whole book of Jude. But the book of Jude is about apostates and apostasy. Now, that's the words I'm going to use. You could use the word false teachers. You could use a lot of different things you want to put in there. But there are apostates, and apostasy is running rampant. And the thrust of the book is basically this way. Because there's a lot of people out there doing a lot of bad things, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? That's the question. All right? And I think that's what Jude kind of starts his book with. Because he tells us right up front that, again, that we've got to contend for the faith, okay? So as you're looking at verses 3 and 4, we've got to contend for this faith. There's apostates out there. They want to come into our church. They want to change our doctrines. They want to change the truths that we teach. And we got to contend it. We got to contend. Again, we got to fight for our faith and keep it the way it needs to be. Then when we go through the book, and most of the book is about these men, these apostates, who they are, what they teach, why they teach it, what's going to happen to them. So that's what the book is about. And I'm not here to teach the book. Okay, maybe someday we'll sit down and go through these apostates in Jude and tell you what they're teaching and what they think and what they're doing and why they're doing it and what God says is going to happen to them. But what happens is we get to verse 20. And notice how verse 20 starts, okay? After we've mentioned all these apostates and all the things about them, he says, but ye. Now, that's what got me when I read the book this time. Those two words got me. But ye. Spent all those verses, okay? Now, I don't know if it's exactly 19 verses, okay? And on all of them talk about the apostates. But you're surrounded by a bunch of people that are trying to change the faith and warp the faith and pervert and corrupt the faith. And as we learn about these people, the end of the book goes, now you, what are you going to do? And the reason why I called the sermon because of you, because what happens is a lot of times what I find is Christians who are no longer standing up for the faith. They're no longer standing in the faith. They're really no longer doing anything about the faith. I hope they're saved. but they don't go to church anymore. They don't read their Bibles anymore. They have basically given up on the Christian life. And when you ask them why, the answer comes down to they'll find somebody in their life along the way that did something, and because of that, I gave up on my faith. Now follow the book of Jude. Jude, the brother of Jesus Christ, is telling us, you are going to be surrounded. You're going to be like an island in the sea of apostasy. There are going to be people doing all kinds of horrible things. I mean, you can even go into the early verses. Is it verse 3 or verse 4? Turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness? Which means basically doing immoral acts in the name of religion. That's horrible. You're going to be surrounded by people that are going to do all kinds of terrible things. Okay? They're going to do immorality. And then they're going to say it's God's will that I do it, or God wanted me to do it, or God doesn't care if I do it or not. Really? Really? You're going to be surrounded by these people that are doing all kinds of horrible things. So you're going to use them as your reason why you quit? So you're going to look at them and say, because of you, I quit being a Christian. Okay? And I think we need to get to the place where our most holy faith, as we find there in Jude 20, okay, as we come to our faith, okay, it's between us and God, and nobody can mess that up. Now, they'll give us hiccups or they'll make us stop and think, but they're not going to wreck it. Does that make sense to people? And so many times, you know, we blame why we're not living for God on other people. Now, if there's anybody in the Bible that had good reason to blame everybody else for why he wasn't living for God, was Paul. I mean, Paul got it from all sides, okay? He got it from all sides. And yet he said, what? None of these things move me. I'm not stopping, okay? And again, the theme that I want to give us, and why we're going to look at these verses, is, you know, how's your faith doing? And is it determined by other people as to what they do? Or have you basically made the dedication, Lord, it doesn't matter what happens to me around me. I'm going to live for you. I'm going to live for you. I don't know. I mean, I sometimes think about peer pressure. And sometimes when we think about peer pressure, we think about people exerting pressure on us to make us do something. But the other side's true too. Sometimes people do things, and because of what they did, then we won't do something. Okay? I don't know. I'll use an illustration. Hopefully it doesn't happen. Maybe it shouldn't happen. If it's going to happen, well, I'm at you. Okay? Young people. Sledding party this Friday night. You know what young people do sometimes? You know, somebody said, hey, you going to the sledding party? I don't know. You going? I don't know. You going? Well, I don't know. I don't think I'm going to go. Well, if you're not going, I'm not going. Really? You know, I tell young people, don't do that. Okay? Don't do that. The other day, it was funny because I had a pastor's meeting that I went to, group of pastors I met with or whatever, and my wife was talking to our daughter and said, hey, is Ryan going to the meeting? And he said, well, I think he is. And she goes, well, Dad's gone. He was just wondering if Ryan was gone. And I yelled, it doesn't matter what Ryan's doing. I'm still going. Okay, because it was just kind of coming across like, well, what's Ryan doing? Because if Ryan's not with me, and I was like, it doesn't matter what Ryan's doing. I'm going, you know, and we just kind of laughed about that. Does that, you know, because I don't want it to sound like, well, what are you doing? Well, if you're not going, well, I don't know if I want to go. Okay, no, okay. Don't go sledding. I'm going sledding, and I'm going to have a wonderful time. Okay? I'm going to have a wonderful time. You know, and I tell people, just watch it. Now, I know you say, well, you're picking on the youth or whatever. Well, it's on all of us. Do you decide how you're going to live your life as to what everybody else does or whatever? And, you know, a lot of times when it comes to our Christianity, you know, we're just worried about, well, I don't know if they're going to go. I don't know if I'm going to do this. And, well, because they did that, then I'm not going to do this. And next thing you know, there's nobody living the Christian life, and we're blaming it on everybody else. What we need is for somebody to say, hey, no matter what you did, I'm going to do what's right. I'm going to keep serving God, okay? I'm going to keep going. And I love that. I tell people, I like different songs. When I hear songs about people staying and standing and remaining faithful, you know, I like songs like that, you know. Dare to be a Daniel. Don't you love songs like that, okay? You know, it doesn't matter what everybody else is doing. I'm going to do what's right. And people like that in the Bible kind of appeal to me. I've always told people, I've always liked Micaiah. Some of you know that one of my favorite people in the Bible is Micaiah. It didn't matter that he had hundreds of prophets telling a different story. He told the right story. All by himself. And that's what we need. We need people that say, hey, you know, I know. And I know that maybe sometimes people say, well, you know, people can be pretty mean out there. You think you need to tell me that? Do you think that I live in a bubble somewhere that I don't know that people get mean? Okay? I know what people say. I know what people do. In fact, somebody was telling me the other day, they go, well, that's because you wear those two bullseyes or whatever. Because I made the statement one time, well, I'm the pastor of a church. Like, I got a big bullseye right here. And then I'm a board member of school, and boy, there's another one on my back, so it doesn't matter if I'm coming or going, boy, I got a bullseye on me, you know? And next thing you know, you hear something, and I tell people, I'm they. I am they. Do you know that's my name? Because when you hear somebody, do you know what they did up at that church? Well, why don't you just put my name in there? I'm they, okay? Well, you know what they're doing over to school? You know what they're doing? Well, I'm they. You know, and whatever people say, I kind of fall into they or whatever, and it's fine with me. Okay, it's fine with me. I you know, like I could quit, go do nothing. That's not what God wants. And so I tell people, stand up. Who cares what people are saying about you? Who cares what lies maybe people are saying? Do what's right. Just do what's right and keep going. So that's why when I come here, and again, I guess I'm still on the introduction, but gauging my time till 1 o'clock, I'm okay. Okay? But notice, when we're surrounded by this sea of apostasy and everybody doing wrong, all of a sudden, but what's the next word? And don't use the word ye, we use the word what? You! You, Jude's looking at you! What are you gonna do? Don't worry about those people. What are you gonna do? So if you're ever gonna use me or somebody else as an excuse why you're giving up on your Christian life or whatever, you're wrong. Okay? Now, we're imperfect. Everybody's imperfect. And people hurt you. And people hurt you and we didn't even know we hurt you. And just offenses happen. Don't quit. You stay strong. Stay doing what God has called you to do. And so notice what it says here. As everybody else, okay, and maybe that's what it sounds like when we're reading the book of Jude. However, I found out, God has really never ever left me by myself. He never has. You know, when you start feeling like Elijah, what's he say all of a sudden? I got 7,000 more people just like you. Come on. Come on. It's not just you. There's 7,000 other people serving me right now. So don't get into that mode of you're the only one. But you notice it says here in verse 20, but ye, you notice what we're supposed to do, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith. Now, what I'm going to do in verses 20 and 21, it's as simple as I can give it to you. Okay. I'm going to give you that basically I've got four things in these verses. Okay. That I want to look at. Okay. I got four things I want to do. We're going to build ourselves up on your most holy faith. Okay? That's what we're going to do, and we're going to do some more here. But we need to build ourselves up. You just need to keep getting stronger in the faith. Just keep getting stronger in the faith is what you do. Just build yourself up. Get on a workout program. Okay? Again, this is, as I said before, a day of apostasy. Yeah, everywhere you turn, you see people falling from the faith and people compromising on the Word of God. And yet what we need to do is not just survive, we need to what? Triumph. We need to triumph. I just don't want to make it through. I want to do well. I want to do the best that I can in the Holy Spirit's help using the Word of God. That's what I want to do. So again, you build yourself up in the most holy faith. Again, work. Be stronger tomorrow than you were today in the Word of God and in your love for Jesus Christ is what we need to do. Now, what I want to do is basically take you to a couple of verses. We're coming back to Jude, so put a bookmark there. But go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. And again, I'm kind of working on the idea of building ourselves up in the most holy faith. We need to build ourselves up. And I'm going to go to couple of verses, and then we'll be back at Jude. Okay? But again, this is... This is what Paul is saying to the Corinthians. And he says in verse 1, 2 Corinthians 11:1, would to God ye could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me. What he's saying is, I'm being repetitive here. I'm hammering home the same theme over and over and over. Just stay with me. Don't turn me off, because there's problems in the Corinthian church that we need to get corrected. And I want to make sure that I'm clear. I want to make sure you know what I'm doing here. And so if I repeat myself, or say it another way, just bear with me is what he's saying. Verse 2, for I am jealous over you with a godly jealousy, for I have espoused you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ. Now what he's saying is you got saved under my ministry, and I want you to walk into the presence of Christ again ready to meet him. Okay? You're a ready bride is what it is. You've got the white dress on. You've got your bouquet. Your veil's in place. You are ready to meet Jesus. And I want to make sure that you're prepared. I've taught you things, and I want you to be ready in that day when you stand before Jesus. But look at verse 3. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve, again, through his subtlety, okay, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that's in Christ. And here's what he's saying. I want to present you to Jesus as that virgin, as that bride that's ready to meet the groom. That's what I want to do, but I'm scared because there are people coming to your town preaching false doctrine, and they're beguiling you. They're taking you away with their false doctrines, and you won't be ready for that day when Jesus comes. Notice verse 4, for if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with it. Now, what he's saying is this. If people come to your town or to your church preaching another Jesus, things about Jesus that aren't true, I'm afraid for you because you listen to these people. Or if people come and speak and start speaking another spirit that you've not received, that we've not preached and taught you about, I'm afraid of you because at the end of verse 4 he says, ye well might bear it. There are people coming with false Jesuses, false spirits, false gospels, and you give an ear to them, and I'm afraid for you that they're going to carry you away in their apostasy. And again, as the same fear that Paul has for the church in Corinth is the same fear that we should have today in our church and in the church today of America and in the world, that we aren't given to false Christs, false gospels, false spirits. And when people come and preach, that we don't go, oh, wow, I've never heard that before, but boy, that sounds pretty good. That's why we need to build ourselves up in the most holy faith. So when these people come with these false Christs and false gospels, what do? That's not right. And if we have to, we run them out of here. That's not right. So I kind of put down here, when somebody comes with another Jesus or another spirit, another gospel, you seem to bear it. You seem to endure it. You seem to some measure to accept it. That's what Paul is saying. Folks, we need to build ourselves up in the faith every day so that when somebody comes with something that's false, we're what? Ready. We're not jumping into this boat. This boat looks like it's got holes in it anyway. We're not jumping on. So, again, why do we need to build ourselves up in the most holy faith? Because there are people who are coming that want to knock us off our game. And Paul said, this is what I gave you. This is what I want you to be when you meet Jesus. I'm scared because you kind of bear up with other people when they preach false doctrines. Go with me, if you will, please, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Go a little bit right in your Bibles when you find the T's. All the T's are together. So just find the right T, 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5. Again, sort of the same idea here that we'll give to you. Again, just a couple very quick verses. Okay, three quick verses. Notice what it says here. Verse 20. Despise not prophesyings. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good. Abstain from all appearance of evil. Notice there in those three verses. First of all, and I tell people, we need to really watch verse 20. Despise not prophesyings. Despise not, again, what he's got there, prophesyings. That word is basically preaching. It's people who take the word of God and explain the word of God. It's sort of what I'm doing here. Okay? Don't despise it. Now, I know we talked about this, and it could have been a couple months ago as we're on a section in Sunday school. But you know, in a lot of churches today, the aspect of the church that's being diminished the most is the preaching. When people start talking about their church and, oh, we've got all this and we've got this and we got this. And you can even go to church websites where they kind of make excuses or they downgrade their preaching. We don't preach about sin in this church. When you come to this church, you won't feel bad from what you've heard from the Word of God. Okay? You think I'm wrong about this? Ask Joel Osteen a question. He won't answer it on national TV. Why is that? Well, we don't talk about things like that at our church. We don't ever just do this, okay? We don't really talk about sin. Oh, we don't talk about condemnation and hell. We don't, you know what I'm saying? And when you come to our church, you're going to enjoy the talk that we give you. Sometimes they don't even call it preaching anymore. I got thinking, maybe I'm wrong. But folks, we're living in a day now in Christianity where famous or good preachers aren't around anymore. Now, I believe they're there, but today's Christianity, and I'm talking about Christianity, today's Christianity, we're really not into preaching like we used to be. I mean, you can start doing this. Now watch this. I'm right about this. There are still a lot of TV shows on, and you can turn them on, and the man who's preaching on the show is a wonderful preacher. But he died. We're still playing his old sermons. Am I right about this? Why are we playing these old guys' sermons? Okay? Why? Because we're not giving in to new preaching anymore. Okay? I mean, and the old-time preachers are pretty much gone. In my generation, I grew up or whatever, somebody say, well, who's the most famous preacher in America? It was pretty easy to come up with, was it not? It was Billy Graham. Everybody heard of Billy Graham and all that. Where's the new Billy Graham who's preaching the gospel going on? It's just not there. Now, is Adrian Rogers, he's died now, has he not? And Kennedy from, I mean, you can still watch Kennedy preach on TV. How long ago did Kennedy die? Now watch. In Christianity today, now I'm meddling now. I'm not even preaching, I'm meddling. In Christianity today, folks, what's the big thing that's pushed in front of us? It's not preaching anymore. It's music. It's music. We all know the big groups, the new soloist, the new person. It's now music. And I'm telling you, when you come to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, when Paul says, despise not prophesying, what's he saying? There's going to come a time when people aren't going to want preaching anymore. We put on dramas in church. Now, we do one also, and we do different things, but you got to all put it in perspective. And it can't be the captivating church. Well, we don't do preaching anymore. We do skits in our church, and we don't do preaching anymore. We just have concerts and things like that. Stop and think about it, okay? Now, again, I'd like to go this. I mean, I tell people, here, we live in central Pennsylvania. You think, well, we're different than the rest of the world. Really? When's the last time they filled the Bryce Jordan Center because a preacher came and preached the gospel? When's the last time we filled it because music groups came? Oh, we do that a lot. But we no longer get crowds together for preaching. Okay, I'm done meddling. Does everybody understand where it's going? So when Paul says, despise not prophesying, what's he saying? There's going to come a time when people downgrade prophecies. Preaching, expanding the word of God to people. That's what they're going to do. And notice what he says now. Now, you need to make sure you listen to good preaching when people explain the word of God. Because here's what you need to do. As you hear people preaching, prove all things. When you hear somebody preach, if you pick up a book, if you hear something, you better stop and listen. Is this good, right Bible preaching? Prove it. Test it. Okay? Poke it with a pen. Do something. Is this Bible preaching? Okay? And you'll know what you'll see here. If it is, look at the end of verse 21, then you hold fast to that which is good. But then you'll notice, if it's not good, verse 22, abstain from all appearance of evil. That word appearance means form or type or fashion. You know what? If you're hearing somebody explain the word of God and it's a false Christ, if it's a false gospel like we read over in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, then you get away from it. Okay? You get away from it. Stay away from bad stuff. So again, we need to build ourselves up in the holy faith, because what we need to make sure we're doing is that we're holding on to the word of God. Again, examine everything. Test everything as determined is genuine. If it's good and if it's right, embrace it. Okay? If it's some kind of sin and it's not right, it's not truthful, then what am I telling you to do? Get away from you. We need to grow in the faith so we know the difference. Now, basically what I'm talking about here now is I'm basically talking about being discerning Christians. We need to grow in our faith to be discerning Christians. If apostasy walks through the back door, we know it. Okay? We know it. Again, that's what we need to do. Go with me to Matthew chapter 16, please. We're heading to Jude in just a minute. But go with me to Matthew chapter 16. And maybe explain something here to you. And hopefully not dash your thoughts about Bible truth. Okay? But Matthew 16, verses 1 to 3, Jesus is going to talk to the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Let's read these verses, please. Again, notice what he says here. Matthew 16, 1, the Pharisees with the Sadducees came tempting him, desiring that he would show them a sign from heaven. He answered and said unto them, when it is evening, you say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. In the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O ye hypocrites, you can discern the face of the sky, but you cannot discern the signs of the times. Okay? Now, I just want to kind of give this to you, and I'll explain it this way. One of the things that I believe we're a whole lot better at than we used to be is weather forecasting. Okay? Are you with me on that? Weather forecasting. Now, I know we make fun of weather forecasters because they use a lot of words like probably, maybe. You know, don't they? I mean, there's no, you know, they just do that. I always like the one when Curtis always said, if I was a weather forecaster, I would just always say there's a 50% chance of being a good day. Then, whichever way it goes, I'm right. Okay? You know, I told you, it could be, could not be. Okay, but if you want to get down to it, can I tell you this? The weather forecasting that we have these days, it's pretty good. Now, they miss it by a couple of miles from time to time. Now, it's like the other day where they were saying a big storm was coming up the East Coast and it was going to hit New York. It missed New York by a couple of miles, and that's okay. But if you were sitting in Boston, can I tell you something? You got plastered. Okay, so they said something's coming. I remember, and I'm going to get the year wrong, but it was either 32 or 34. It was either 1932 or 34, talking to Randy up in the church in Massachusetts. But he said back in 1932 or 34, he was just a kid in elementary school, and all of a sudden it started to rain pretty hard. So they decided that they needed to let the kids out of school early. So they let them go early out of school. And some of them, when they walked home, as the tidal surge came in from a hurricane, it washed them out to sea. Because the teachers let them out of school to walk home. And a hurricane was bearing down on the eastern coast of Massachusetts. And it took kindergartners and washed them out to sea as the tidal surge came in. He was like, when we went to school in the morning, we had no idea there was a hurricane rushing in from out in the water to hit us here in Massachusetts. We had no idea it was even there. And a lot of people died. Now, I know you can go down to the beaches of Westport, Mattapoisett, and the East Beach, and you can see foundations that were all, they said these were beautiful mansions. And in that flood, whether it was 32 or 34, somebody's probably checking it on a phone already. But they're gone, and they've never rebuilt those mansions down on the Westport Beach. They're gone. Am I right about this, Tony? I mean, you've seen them, okay? And people died. They had no idea a hurricane was coming. Now, I got a question for you. Have any of you ever been surprised by a hurricane the last couple of years? Oh, I didn't know it was coming. I mean, we know, we're really good at weather forecasting. In fact, I still laugh about this when we were standing in our backyard last year when we had a church service there. Does anybody remember that? Okay, and I can remember, I'm going to blame the whole thing on Naomi Cahill. But Naomi Cahill looked at her phone and said, Pastor, it said in 31 minutes it's going to rain really hard and it's going to rain for 90 minutes. She was right. In 31 minutes, it started raining really hard. And you know what? It didn't let up for 90 minutes. Am I right about that? She knew that from reading her phone. We are really good at weather forecasting. Now watch, I'm taking you to Matthew 16. I'm not upsetting your apple cart on Bible truth. Because if you say, well, the Bible says if it's red sky at night, it's going to be good weather. Watch, okay? It really doesn't say that, okay? Okay? It says that the Pharisees say, look at verse 2. Verse 2, when it is evening, ye say it will be fair weather. So if you say, well, it's Bible truth. If it's red sky at night, sailor's delight, it's going to be good weather tomorrow. That's not really Bible truth, okay? It is a phenomenon that the Pharisees and people back in this day kind of observed that it generally worked. Now, is anybody saying to me, Pastor, you're blowing, you know, that's Bible truth and you can't teach that. No, ye say, but watch this. And here's how I'm going to put it. These people had very rude, crude, ineffective ways for determining the weather. That's really what they had. They came up with a way, okay, to kind of crudely determine what the weather was going to be like. Now, I know that some days I've woken up and as I'm driving early in the morning, I see a red sky. And yet later in the day, it really didn't seem to be a bad day. But, yeah, but most of the time, Pastor, when it's red sky in the morning, it is a bad day. Okay. And so these people had crude weather predicting ways, and that's what they used. And I would say this, red sky at night, sailor's delight, means the next day is going to be good. Yeah, generally, that's a pretty good principle, is it not? But this is what Jesus was saying to them. As crude as your weather predicting ways are, you're better at predicting the weather than knowing what's going on around you religiously. Okay? If I could kind of put something like this up here. Come on now. Okay? As primitive as your weather forecasting is, it's better than your theology. That's what Jesus is telling these people. You've come up with a little way to tell what the weather's going to be like. Now, we've got all kinds of complicated ways to know the weather, but they're saying, as primitive and as crude as they are, they're better than your theology. Okay? You people have no discernment at all. You are better weathermen than you are theologians. And yet, when you think of a Pharisee and a Sadducee, what is their job? They're theologians. That's what they were. And he is saying, you guys are better at telling the weather than you are at being theologians. Now, can I stop and say something? And now you're going to say, Pastor, now you're meddling. You thought I was meddling before. Now you really are. Folks, we are better at current events than we are sometimes about the truth of God. Okay? Watch this. You ready? Everybody says, well, Pastor, you know, a big storm's coming in today. Yeah. Well, how'd you learn that? Well, I clicked on my apps, you know. I did everything on my phone. I went to my computer, listened to the weatherman. And I got everything, and I know the big storm's coming in, and hey, they're calling for a 10 inches or 8 inches. You know, Pastor, I hooked in, and man, I know the weather's coming in. And Pastor, you know, about 2 o'clock, it's going to come in here, or 3 o'clock, Pastor, it's going to come in here. Good, 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 good. What'd you learn from the Word of God this morning? I didn't even open it this morning. I didn't even check it. So before you came to church, did you learn anything about the Bible? Did you have devotions? No. But you took the time to open your app. You know everything about the weather, but you didn't learn anything about Jesus this morning before you came to church. Now, lest you get on the Pharisees, and I'm preaching to me, lest you get on the Pharisees and the Sadducees, we're about as bad as they are, aren't we? Folks, we are all into the weather. I mean, we know what's going to happen on the weather, and yet I forgot to open my app for my Bible today. Didn't have devotions this morning, but man, I'm up on the weather. Okay? Now I'm really going to meddle. It's a big game today. Man, we know all about the players, don't we? I mean, we even listen to everything to be said about them. We're trying to predict who's going to win. Hey, we know the stats of this guy. We know the stats of this guy. We know all the things. We're all good about it, right? And it almost seems we took more time to learn about Brady this week than we did Jesus. Am I right about that? Now, I'm done meddling. I've said my point, all right? But you see what I'm saying. So when he's talking this out, now here's the thing. What are we talking about back in Jude? Folks, build yourself up, not in the weather. Don't build yourself up in the sports. And I get it. I have fun with sports, and you know I do. And it's all priorities. It is it not? But you know what, folks? What's the most important thing we need to do every day? We need to learn more about our God. Build ourselves up in the most holy faith. That's what we need to do. And so again, if you're too worried about the weather, hey, let's get worried about Jesus. Okay? The weather's going to happen, and I understand knowing a little bit about the weather, but that, again, if that's all you're into, or sports, or whatever you're doing, I tell people, I don't know. When you open your computer up, when you open your phone up, what's it open to? I mean, what's the thing you're most worried about? What's on your favorites list, okay? Maybe I just tell people, why don't you get God on it? Why don't you get God on it, okay? You can do things like that. So, again, I'm done. I'm going back to the book of Jude, okay? Again, I don't think, I mean, even if I go to 1 o'clock, I don't think I'm going to finish the sermon. So we might not get to all 4 points here, or the 4 things. But why is it that we stopped discerning? Why is it that we stopped growing in the faith, and when somebody comes down the road with a false gospel, why is it that we don't go after them? Why is it that we tolerate things that aren't right? Okay? And again, I just put 5 things down here that, again, as I read other people, I think, number one, people are no longer hold a doctrinal standard. I think we've got to the point where we don't hold a doctrinal standard. And I believe this is what the doctrine is. I believe this is what the Bible teaches. I believe this is absolutely what's right. Okay? And you know what? If somebody comes down the road and you don't hold to that doctrinal standard, I'm recognizing who you are. You don't hold to the standard. Okay? It's not anymore, well, whatever you want to believe, it's okay. You know, a lot of you come on into this church. We accept all beliefs, and whatever you want to hold to is fine with us. And I tell people, no, it's not. Okay, there's a doctrinal standard. Now, again, I'm using the word doctrinal standard here, not just convictions and preferences over things that aren't doctrine. Okay, didn't I preach something a while back on Christian liberty? You didn't forget that, right? Okay, but I'm talking doctrinal standard. Okay, well, here at this church, we're really not worried about the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. You know, whatever, it doesn't matter anyway. Really? It matters big time. That's a doctrinal standard that we hold to. The inspiration of the Word of God, we're not moving on that. If you come in here and tell me that there's problems with the Bible and it's not all inspired, well, folks, we hold to a standard. Okay, the person and work of Jesus Christ, there's a standard that we hold to. You don't believe in that, there's no place here for you. Okay, because we've got some standards, a doctrinal standard that we hold to. And nowadays, people are just worried about packing pews, and we're not worried about what you all believe. You know, it's okay what you all believe. No, it's not, okay? And number two kind of falls on the heels, and I like number two because it makes me look really smart. Because when I first put it up there, you may not know what I'm saying. And you go, wow, Pastor's so smart because he knows what it says. Our failure to be antithetical. Oh, I love that, okay? Okay, what's failure to be antithetical? Here's what it is. If you don't agree to our doctrinal statement, if you don't agree to our doctrinal standard, which is the Bible, okay, then we're not afraid to call you wrong. People don't want to be antithetical anymore. They don't want to say somebody's wrong, okay? And if you don't hold to a doctrinal standard, okay, then you're wrong, okay? I wrote these things down. There is what is right and there is what is wrong, and it's clear. The Bible's absolute. It's objective. It makes truth clear. It makes error clear. It confronts, it separates, it distinguishes truth from error. But the kind of black and white approach, the kind of antithetical approach, that there is truth and there is that which is antithetical to truth, and that's offensive to people. It's either God's way or no other way. Jesus said, if you're not for me, you are against me. We don't want to be antithetical anymore. If somebody comes up and says, well, I know that your church preaches that the Bible is the authority, it's the Word of God, but I don't really believe that. We don't say, oh, that's okay. There's a place for you in here to believe all that stuff that's not true. We don't care. It's a time to stand up and say what? You're wrong. And yet in today's world, if you tell somebody they're wrong, what's the next thing they say?
Well, you're being judgmental.
Well, I think the Bible tells me to be that. Because there will be wolves that come into a church dressed as what? Sheaves. And when I see them coming in, I don't go, oh, sheep. No, I go, wolf! Wolf! Stay away! And there's people that are wrong. And we've got to know, folks, that there is wrong. I mean, I just started doing it, and I forgot the list. But, you know, you start in the Bible, there's right and wrong. There's good, there's bad. There's light, there's dark. I mean, can you just not make a list of all the things that are antithetical? They're against each other, okay? Again, I mean, I tell you can go to 2 Corinthians 6. I mean, should Christ have concord with Belial? The word concord's a musical term. I've told you this. If I were to announce that Jesus and the devil were going to do a special duet in our church, would you think that was possible? Okay? Jesus and the devil don't sing together, okay? They don't sing together because they don't believe the same things. One's right, one's wrong. So again, in the church today, we just don't want to be antithetical. Oh, don't tell anybody they're wrong. It's okay. No, it's wrong. By the way, you tell people they're wrong, they will not like you. Which leads me to the next one, okay? We just want to be popular, okay? We want to generate an image that makes us popular with people. We don't want anybody to not like us. And if we tell people that's wrong and that's sin, well, they're not going to like us, so I can't do that. Okay, what Paul say? You make me your enemy because I tell you the what? The truth. Paul's like, you know, sometimes by the way, you can go to a lot of other things, okay? I mean, to be the friend of the world, it makes you the enemy of God. Am I in James chapter 4? Okay, which we have there. It puts me in James chapter 4. So again, as we do these things, sometimes people just want to be popular, okay? We want to be popular. So we're not going to preach that at our church. We're not going to hold to that standard. We're not going to call this sin. Okay? And we want to come up with cute little ways to say things so nobody's hurt and we can be popular. Again, and sometimes the reason why we do this is we just failure to properly interpret the Scripture. You know, I mean, I hear people say, the Bible never says, and then whatever they give me next, it says it. The Bible never condemns homosexuality. What Bible did you read? What Bible did you read? Okay, the Bible never says that Jesus is God. Really? Whose Bible are you reading? That is poor interpretation of the Word of God, or reading of the Word of God, or understanding of it. Okay, and again, that's poor. So we need to interpret the Scriptures right. Number five, again, five reasons gone. And sometimes it's just because there's a failure to discipline in the church. And this is the word I'm using. Somebody comes into the church, they start preaching something that's bad, and we don't have the gumption to say, you can't do that here. Or we don't say, get out. You're a false teacher. That's not allowed here. We're not bringing this in here. It's failure to discipline the church and say, no. I mean, I tell people, go home someday and let the kids run the roost. Okay? And I tell you what, my grandkids, man, they're not that old, but boy, they have some really strange ways of things to do in my house. They have some really strange things that they want to do in my house. Okay? And you know what? You're not allowed to do those in my house. Okay? And I laugh about it because my daughter made this thing. She goes, well, now that Reed has taken this disease and all that, like, are you going to try to, like, treat him differently? And I'm like, I think I know what you're getting at. But if he goes to pull the lamp down in the corner and smash it on Nana's floor, the answer is no. He's not getting away with murder around this house. Okay? And I mean, he could... I don't know. Does anybody have that one kid that can destroy things faster than anybody else? I mean, I have two older grandkids, Grant and Owen, and they're not so bad. My dad's pointing to me, I know. Okay? But I have two older grandkids, and they weren't quite so bad. But this little one, you turn him loose in a room... And it's all, he's a dumpy guy. He dumps. I mean, he just dumps everything down on the floor. I mean, you know, and sometimes I come into the playroom and the other two look at me and they go, it wasn't us, Pop. It was him, you know, because the room's destroyed or whatever, you know. But, you know, we get to this point where we don't tell people, you can't do that here. That's a no. That's a no. And he's learning real quick what a no is now. He's starting to learn what no's are. But you know what? Failure to discipline doesn't make things better. Somebody brings false doctrines in, they don't get to be here and do those things. Again, it's spiritual immaturity, and discipline belongs to the mature. I don't have time, but notice, if you want to be discerning, discerning means you grow in the faith, you learn the Word of God. That makes you mature, and then you can understand what other people are doing is wrong, and you're going to stand strong. Folks, I'm just going to go one point here, and then I'm done. I'm going to have to cut it short. Again, I'll come back, which gives me things to preach another day or whatever. But Jude 20, 21, notice verse 17. I'm back in the book of Jude. I'm only going to do one point. And in my notes, it doesn't look that long, okay? It doesn't look long at all. And on the screen, it probably doesn't look that long. But I give things here that I want you to do. Notice verse 17 of the book of Jude. Jude 17, one of the first things you need to do. He says, these words almost sound like verse 20, except he adds a ye there. He says, but, beloved, in verse 20, it would be, but ye, beloved. Notice the first thing in verse 17 after he says, but beloved, he says what? Remember. Remember. What are we remembering? The words which were spoken before by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, what it comes back to, when the rest of the world is doing whatever they want to do, and the world is trying to get us to stop to do what we're doing, or you have somebody that has hurt you, let's go back and read the words of God that the apostles penned in the Bible. What does it tell us to do? You know what? And one of the things I just don't find in the Bible, I never find the apostles saying, if so-and-so does something to you, quit the faith and walk away from it. I haven't found that one yet. Now, I do know that there is a phrase in there that says, quit ye like men. Who knows what that word quit means in old, old English? Okay? Act. Be a man. Be a man. Man, we're not quitting. Okay, so that word is old English. But remember, and somebody says, well, I'm going to quit the Christian faith because somebody did this, or somebody told a lie about me. Really? Somebody lied about you? What did Jesus say when people lie about you? Blessed are ye when then shall false accusers say all manner of evil against you false for my sake. Rejoice! He didn't say quit. That's what they did to the prophets that were before you. They didn't quit. You don't quit. You hang in there. So again, when it comes to the book of Jude, as we're surrounded by apostasy, the first thing he says is, remember what Jesus' apostles told you. And they wrote it down in the Word of God. And we're going to stay strong. Then the next thing is, remain. remain. I go back to Billy Haken, a good friend of mine. Again, he pastors that Capital Baptist Church down in the Harrisburg area now. He was an evangelist, but I remember when he used to come to the church. He used to get on the piano, and I've told you this before, but he had a little song that he kind of used the piano more as a rhythmic instrument than he did a piano, you know, chords. But he just kind of up and down the keyboard playing this little song. And I told him every time he comes to the church, I'd say, hey, sing that song. And he'd say, well, I know if I come to Pastor Gilwell's church, I got to sing this song. So he'd come and say, and I don't know all the words, but it was about Daniel, and it was about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Okay, but I do know the chorus went something like this. You can run if you want to, you can run if you will, but I came here to stay. And that's what I remember. You can run if you want to, you can run if you will, but I came here to stay. And as I think about that, that's what we're talking about. What's the rest of the world doing? Well, they're all running. You stand. You stand. And there's a lot of good verses. There's a lot of good stories of people in the Bible who stood. And you know what? We are going to stand because we are going to build ourselves up on our most holy faith. We've got a wonderful foundation that is laid. And we are going to lay that house, just like Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7. We are going to build that house on the firm foundation. And when the winds come, and when the waves beat on that house, and when the rain comes thundering down on it, that house is going to stand because we build it strong. We build it absolutely strong. We're going to stand there absolutely as strong as we can. I'm just going to do this, and my point's done, folks. One of the things we need to do as Christians to build ourselves up on the most holy faith is we need to be doctrinally strong. Do you know what the Word of God says? Do you know what's important to hold to? And we can't bend it. And we can't start changing it. We've got to hold strong on the Word of God. And therefore, when somebody comes with a false doctrine, we say, nope, that's not right. And this is what's right. And this is where we're going to stand. And we're not going to bend from this doctrine. We're not going to bend from that which we've been taught by the apostles. And we've been taught even by our ancestors. This is what's right. This is where we're going to stand. So, again, we need to build ourselves up and get strong. I've only made it to hardly one point, okay? And my time says it's almost PM. But, again, we need to be strong. And as the rest of the world falls away, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I close with this, but I said to people, it really doesn't matter what you say about me this morning, okay? Now, this is just look at a nice day with sunshine, okay? But it really doesn't matter what you say about me. I'm coming back tonight. And pretty much I'm on the schedule to preach next week. You know? And I remember somebody in Massachusetts said this one time. They said, well, there was a really bad rumor that we passed around about you, Pastor. And we really believed that once we got it out there, you'd quit. And you didn't. And I was like, you're right. I wasn't going to leave. And I told him, you can hear whatever you want, say whatever you want, say, I'll be back tonight. And I'm planning on being here Wednesday, and I'll be here next week, Lord willing. I mean, unless I get sick. Now, I don't know what's going to happen tonight, okay? But that's the way it is. We're going to stand strong. Don't be a because of you, Christian. Because of you, I give up. Because of you, I quit the faith. No, doesn't matter what you did. I'm going to stand strong, okay? So I'll be walking this Friday night, see how many kids come to sledding party. See how many of them stayed home because somebody else stayed home, okay? But it sounds like a pretty good time because it looks like we're going to have a good jump out there. And how do we stop the kids before they got onto the highway? Or that's the fun of the night. Okay. Yeah, it's Dead Man's Hill. We call it Dead Man's Hill because it goes down a big slope and opens up on a highway. That's why it's Dead Man's Hill. What's that? Okay, we're going to flag the highway. Or we'll build the big mound down there so they go over the cars as they do that or whatever. We'll flip the bus over and hit the bus. Good. I think you got the point of the message so far. Doesn't matter what everybody else does, remain faithful. Don't quit. And build yourself up, because you know what? It's going to get tough out there. And quitting is going to sound like the easy thing to do. Build yourself up. Get strong in the faith. Doesn't matter what the world's doing. Doesn't matter even what your friends are doing. Stand strong. Father, I pray. I've harped on the message, kind of like Paul. Bear with me in my foolishness. But Lord, sometimes we blame things on other Christians because they said something or did something, and then we give up on the faith. Because they said this about me, I'm not coming back. And Lord, I pray that we would just be those who remain. Lord, we'll stand strong. Whether the winds or the waves hit the house, Lord, it will not topple our faith because it's built on a firm foundation of the teachings of Jesus Christ and His apostles. And Lord, that you would give us the Holy Spirit to stand strong. Lord, we'll finish the sermon in days to come. Lord, give us the sermon what to do about tonight. But Lord, I pray that we would learn the Word of God every day and worry about it more than the weather. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.